Hello, welcome in to the huddle on ESPN Upstate. They let me back in the door. We have any listeners left after last week?
Maybe a few out there, G-Mac.
You didn't run them all off, did you?
No, not all of them. I'm still trying to get used to this boob mic over here. The boob mic.
You're talking with your chest?
I've been informed by engineering that the microphone can't go any higher than that, otherwise it gets distorted.
Bombastic nature tends to splatter all over the radio. Is that what you're telling me?
He has a tendency to raise his voice just a tad. That's what it is.
So this is what we learned last week while I was gone. Something was accomplished there, man. That's a good week.
Yes.
That's a good week. I appreciate you holding down the fort last week. I understand you all had some fun. And all is well. Everything is on go for football season coming up, and we have a lot of that to talk about. Going to get to weekend scrimmages for South Carolina and Clemson on the show today, and some comments from some coaches involved in that. I know that a couple of these stories happen, I guess, Friday, but we're getting some reaction to the Sammy Watkins trade. Sammy Watkins has arrived with the Rams. We'll hear some from him coming up on the show. And a little more, I just can't imagine how it went last week, Josh, when Zeke Elliott was suspended for 6 games. I imagine that was not good.
No, we had an advanced rant segment when that broke. And it literally, the crazy thing, G-Mac, and welcome back. Glad that
Thank you, man. You
and your family had a great time and y'all made it back safe in all seriousness. But yeah, Lonzo and I, because I already had the show prep out, right?
Yep.
On what we were going to talk to each segment, this, that, and the other. And literally 10 minutes before Lonzo and I walked into the studio, the Sammy Watkins trade broke, and then the Zeke Elliott announcement all happened within 10 minutes of the show. So it was kind of one of those, all right, let's throw it up in the air
and start over.
Yeah, let's retool this thing.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. That's good. That's a good problem when you have new, fresh information to talk about. But we're going to hear from NFL insider Dan Graziano on this Zeke Elliott suspension today and a little bit of insight on how it came about, because it was a little bit unexpected for him to get 6 games. So we'll get to that, and you can rant all over again. We'll give you another chance to rant even more. You've had the weekend to stew over it. So we'll see how you feel about it today. On a serious note, Ric Flair in the hospital in intensive care, so we're concerned about him. The wrestling legend, will give you the update on that, but it's at least serious, and we're hoping that he's going to be able to pull through that all right. I'll tell you about that coming up on the show. Florida has some issues. They've suspended a bunch of football players for the Michigan game. It's bad when you open against Michigan. See, you got to learn. You got to open with Kent State, man. if you're gonna have a one game suspension,
baby. He's ready to roll.
Here's what you do: you open with Kent State. That way, no problem with this stuff. But no, Florida didn't learn that. They are opening with Michigan, and without some key players. We'll tell you about that news that broke over the weekend. Justin Thomas wins the PGA, the last major of the year. Get into that a little bit. Tell you how our local guys did in the tournament in Charlotte over the weekend. There's a new article out in Sports Illustrated on Zion Williamson. I want to talk about it. I thought it was very well done. And I'll tell you a couple of the notes from that story that's out today. Oh, and we'll even hear from another former Clemson player, Martavis Bryant, back in camp with the Steelers. And he talks about what he has to do going into this year and how he expects the reception to be from the fans in Pittsburgh after he missed all of last year. So that's some of what is coming up on the show today. We'll have plenty of time for your calls as well. 844-477-3776. The text line 71307, driven by Carolina Coaches RV Superstore. And we are on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Well, let's start with scrimmages. We'll get to Clemson a little later on and hear from Tony Elliott, the co-offensive coordinator. He's a little concerned about the way the Clemson offense looked over the weekend. South Carolina, probably more concerned about the defense going into this season as the offense kind of came around last year. But Will Muschamp, speaking Saturday after the Gamecocks scrimmage, updated a couple of injuries. They think receiver Randrickus Davis will be back sometime this week. Stephen Montack has a stress fracture in his foot. He's in a boot for 10 days. And they most importantly lost a member of the secondary, a backup safety, Jalen Dickerson, for the year. He's having surgery, I believe it's Wednesday of this week. That's not good because the depth in the secondary is certainly a concern for the South Carolina Gamecocks. But all in all, Will Muschamp talked about what he thought about the scrimmage Saturday in Columbia.
The things you get excited about was, you know, we only had two procedure penalties offensively. We had one pass interference, and that was it for 140 scrimmage snaps. I mean, we got 50 snaps with our first group, 50 snaps with our second group, and 40 snaps with our third group. It was a good physical day, and that's exactly what we needed. We got about 20 snaps on special teams. We got about 160 snaps out there. We started before 3 o'clock and just got done. And we needed a long day. Our guys need to learn to sustain more as far as drives and those things are concerned on both sides of the ball. Good for the defense. We got the ball off some guys today, and bad for offense. We got to do a better job of ball security. Our tempo between each play needs to pick up, because obviously we're going to start the season defensively with two teams that are going to tempo us, and I don't know how quickly we're playing right now. So that's something we really need to work on next week, is sustaining drives on both sides of the ball, keeping our mental focus, and then and taking care of the football offensively, and our tempo between plays. Those are things to me that we really need to work on. But I've been pleased with our work ethic and how we've gone about it for 11 days. I don't feel like we've really taken a step back in 11 days. I think that we've taken some steps forward. I'm still concerned about our depth defensively. I do like our first group, but we roll out there. But we've got to have some guys continue to step up and be more consistent guys. Again, I don't think it's ability. I think it's consistency. A lot of that goes to youth.
So 11 days into 26 practices total, so they got 15 left, not quite halfway through. And, Coach, one of the things that Muschamp and the guys, the coaches at South Carolina, have been saying is they've got to be more physical. And they say they're seeing that, and they're giving Jeff Dillman some credit. He's the strength and conditioning director. He's been there for 18 months now. And Will Muschamp said that he's made a difference. Having him there for 18 months adds more confidence and swagger on defense, especially. Feels like they're engaging up front better, sustaining blocks better on offense, and feels like that Jeff Dillman deserves some credit for that. So, that's positive. I mean, you could see on the field that South Carolina needed to get tougher.
Oh, absolutely. And Coach Dillman has come over from Alabama. I think he was the assistant strength coach there. So he's brought a lot of the system that they ran with the Crimson Tide to the Gamecocks. And you can tell it. One of the things that just jumped out at me back in the spring, during spring practice and then the spring game, was the first guy that I noticed was Brian Edwards. I mean, you could just tell that young man had a tremendous offseason, and that the coaching staff had really gotten in there with this team. And then they've got to be more confident in what they're doing. And when you're strong, and when you feel like you're strong, and when you're moving fast, and you feel like you're explosive, then you can play with more confidence, because you feel like you can match up with your opponent. And I think that's something that this team is going to continue to get better at, not only with the play on the field, but also off the field. And that is an enormous advantage. When your off-season program can translate to the field and you can actually see it, but then they got to have confidence, and I think that's what Coach Muschamp's wanting. And if the Gamecocks can come out against NC State, show some power and explosiveness, that confidence level will go sky high.
Yeah, no question about that. Now, with the loss of Jalen Dickerson as a backup safety, he had a great spring. No football for Jalen Dickerson this fall. He's got nerve damage in his shoulder, so it's 6 months of rehab for him. And now you've got Steven Montak, who's kind of a utility defensive back, in a walking boot for 10 days. We don't know how long he might be out, but, will he be ready to go at the start of the season? That's in question right now. They're going to have some guys step up in that secondary. You start to get a little concerned about depth there. Already some concern. Now it's a little bit worse.
Well, the other thing, G-Mac, is they've been wanting to use Bryson Allen-Williams so much in pass rush with some of their zone pressures and some of the things that they want to do to try to generate a pass rush. The question I have is, now with these injuries to the back end, does Will have to back him up to put him off the hash in their cover two packages, which Carolina and Coach Muschamp run a lot of? Or how is that going to affect their ability to generate a rush? Because, Bryson has a lot of experience back there on the back end. So is that going to take away from his responsibilities rushing the passer and in those certain packages off the edge? Because that he mentioned the lack of depth in the secondary. Well, that can have a whole impact if the front struggles with getting pressure, and they want to use Bryson Allen Williams. So I'd be interested to see how they fix that.
Yeah, you got DJ Smith and Chris LeMons, your veterans in there, two seniors in that defensive backfield. But some younger guys like Javon Charleston, remember him as a receiver, yep. Showed some spark. They moved him back to defense. Zay Brown, Tyshawn Nixon, they're going to have to step up. And what Muschamp is saying is that he wants to get the best five players out there rather than trying to put just two specific corners, two safeties, and a nickel out there. It's going to be the next best guy that kind of steps in with this injury situation. So that's probably the biggest news coming out of the scrimmage on Saturday, to see how these guys mature. They're going to need them to step up in a big way and take off some of the pressure that has been caused by these injuries. Jalen Dickerson was going to play. I mean, he wasn't a starter at this point, but he was going to play a lot this year.
Yeah, like you mentioned, that lack of depth, a lot of these young players. And again, this South Carolina team is just so young. How many freshmen, what was it, 8 or 9 on each side of the ball last year got significant playing time for the Gamecocks? Now, the good thing is they're not freshmen, they're sophomores. But when you're thin at different positions where you probably didn't recruit like you did. Now, that's going to get fixed because South Carolina is doing a tremendous job recruiting this year going into the 2018 season. But Will's going to have to mix and match up his secondary. And then the other thing is, can the guys grasp the concepts, or is he going to have to simplify it as he moves people around? So they're going to have to – I look for him in that NC State game to play a lot of vanilla stuff, to kind of feel out which guys are moving really fast.
Yeah. The report on Jake Bentley from the scrimmage, he had a 3-and-out in the first series, looked a little shaky there, but then he was able to move the football after that. And the offense did pretty well. So I don't think they're too concerned about that. I think Jake is working himself into shape and we'll be fine.
Yes. The offensive skill positions shouldn't have any problem. I heard that a couple of guys, that Tyshawn Williams and Rico Dowdle, are in a heated battle for the running back position, which is good.
Yep.
To have that competition. It's good to hear that Ortre Smith has come into camp in shape and that he's really come on as a second receiver to Brian Edwards. Of course, Hayden Hurst is going to be probably an all-SEC tight end, so that helps you. And then, you know, it sounds good that apparently Shy Smith is really turning heads as a playmaker. When he gets the balls in five-yard slants, he's breaking tackles and taking it to the house. So to see a young guy like that come in, and then to hear the plan that they have in place for the offensive line, moving them around offensively, I think Coach feels really good about it.
Very good. So that's the update from South Carolina over the weekend. We'll give you an update on Clemson a little later on in the show, and we'll hear from Tony Elliott, the co-offensive coordinator. It looks like the offense is being outmatched a little bit by the defense over at Clemson. Shocking, huh? That's where it is right now, but we'll hear some comments from Tony Elliott on that coming up. All right, jump on board with us, 844-477-3776, text line 71307. Give you an update on Sammy Watkins. In fact, we'll hear from Sammy after his trade late last week. As we return in the huddle in a moment, Greg McKinney, Coach Josh Phillips, and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into the huddle, ESPN Upstate. GMAC Coach Josh Phillips, Lonzo here, 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. Use the keyword ESPN at the beginning of your text message, if you would, please. Good to be back in the swing of things after a week off last week. And appreciate Lonzo and the coach here holding down the forts. We are getting ready for football season. And you know that as more trades start to happen, as camps wrap up. And one of the big ones happened on Friday as the Buffalo Bills went into full rebuild mode, trading away Sammy Watkins, the former Clemson Tigers, and their 2018 sixth-round pick to the Rams for cornerback E.J. Gaines and the second-round pick of the Rams in 2018. So they moved up to the second round from the sixth round, and they basically traded Sammy for E.J. Gaines. Now, Sammy has arrived with the Rams, seems to be happy to be there, and in talking briefly with reporters upon his arrival over the weekend, talked about what he's trying to do as a new member of the Rams.
I'm just here to help. Honestly, I think they got what they need as far as Robert Woods and Tavon, the guys they drafted. I'm just here to add to that and just come here and have fun and win some games.
You feel 100% healthy? Are you through kind of your foot issues, or are you still working through that?
Yeah, I'm 100% healthy. The foot thing is out the door. Probably got to get in a little bit better shape, but other than that, I'm fine.
Sammy, have you been participating fully in practice, or have they been kind of holding you back a little bit just to get you back in the flow?
I've been out every day. I haven't had a bad day off, so I've just been practicing hard. I played a whole quarter the last game, and I felt pretty good out there.
You know, we've heard athletes say, I'm 100% healthy so many times.
Actually, we've heard him say it.
And they haven't been 100% healthy. The foot thing is out the door, I believe, is what he said there. I don't know that I would believe it's out the door. And I don't know that the Buffalo Bills believed that Sammy was 100% healthy or was going to stay healthy, more importantly, going forward. So you guys think it was more about just rebuilding the Bills or a lack of confidence in Sammy Watkins' ability to stay healthy?
Can it be both?
It can be.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, he consistently gets hurt, and it's a shame because he's very talented. And hopefully, we talked about this a little bit Friday, hopefully a change of climate will help him.
Well, he did that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, I mean, the extreme opposite of where he was. So yeah. I think that can only help.
The interesting thing about that is now look at the Rams' offense with Tavon Austin, Todd Gurley, now Sammy Watkins. If he can somewhat stay healthy or get through a season without a major injury, that Rams offense, if Jared Goff can just be average, he don't even have to be great with the playmakers that's around him. I mean, they've got some weapons now. But Buffalo, I think, is just conceding that, you know what, even with Sammy, we're not going to beat New England in the division. We don't need him. So let's try to stockpile as many picks as we can. And then over the next couple of years, once Brady retires, we can make a run at this thing. Because it doesn't seem like with the move the Jets have made or the lack thereof in the division, Miami with Tannehill getting hurt, Buffalo just looks like they've waved the white flag and said, hey, let's rebuild this thing from the bottom up.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. It's clear that's what they're doing. But from Sammy's point of view, is this better for him? Is it better to be taking passes from Goff as opposed to what he was doing in Buffalo? How much better is it? And with Tavon Austin there, is he going to get the kind of targets that he would get in Buffalo? Is he the man on the Rams, or is Tavon Austin the man with the Rams?
Maybe not, but I tell you what, Buffalo, New York compared to Los Angeles, Sammy's got to be laughing all the way to the beach.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. You know, the other thing is he doesn't need to be the man. Maybe it's better for him to not be the number one receiver. Because a better chance to heal and stay healthy is to not be targeted as much. So when he does get targeted, he's got a better shot at doing something with it. I think this is the best thing for him. If he's going to make it an entire season, this would be better for him.
Well, this is final year of his rookie contract, yeah. So it's a big deal. He needs to come out and have a good year. So thinking about it from his point of view, maybe, but I'm not sold on Jared Goff.
Goff's got to be better than what Goff is better than anything they had at Buffalo. I'm not saying he's a whole lot better, but he's better. You don't
so
think
you
so?
You would take Tyrod Taylor, or you would take Jared Goff over Tyrod?
Over Tyrod?
Taylor.
Not sure I would.
Not me, bro.
I wouldn't take either one. I guess maybe it's a coin.
You don't get to choose none of the above. Then.
Okay. All right. So I guess I would take Goff over Tyrod Taylor. I know what I get with Tyrod Taylor. It's still in question about what you're going to get with Goff. I mean, he has potential to be a lot better than what he is now, but it's a small sample size with him.
No doubt.
The thing with Sammy that gets me is, yeah, he's talented, but with all the nagging little injuries that he has, I question how much he works in the offseason at being a good receiver. Nobody's going to confuse the fact that he doesn't have a Jerry Rice type offseason, but when you consistently have these nagging injuries, it's almost like he comes to camp and shows up and says, okay, guys, I'm here. Let's play football. I would be fascinated to see how much time he puts into working out once the season is over till the time that it comes back. Now, of course, all these guys need a little bit of time off. But at the same time, when you play that type of position, you've got to put in your time away from the fans on your own. And I just don't know how much he devotes himself to the off-field stuff mm-hmm. with all these nagging injuries.
Yeah, he needs a couple of healthy years. He especially needs one this year. There's no question about that. I think the jury's out on whether this is going to turn out to be good for Sammy. But I think it is that opportunity. The Bills continue to get some tough news. Jordan Matthews has a chip fracture in his sternum. Suffered it in his first practice with the Bills. He's considered week to week. That announcement today, he suffered this injury less than 2 days after he was acquired in a trade with the Philadelphia Eagles. General manager Brandon Bean said Matthews suffered the injury early in practice, went up for a contested ball, came down hard, finished the session, then later left with a trainer. So that's not good news. Coach Sean McDermott has said that he would like to have Matthews play in Thursday's preseason game in Philadelphia, but that's certainly looking a bit questionable.
Have you ever heard of this injury before?
Not really.
No, me neither. How do you do that? Oh.
Not good. And then Devontae Freeman. Remember, we've been talking about him. He's in the concussion protocol. Coach Dan Quinn says running back Devontae Freeman with the Falcons going through concussion protocol, been ruled out for Sunday's exhibition at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Left Sunday's practice with what was believed to be heat-related issues, but after they evaluated him, they said concussion symptoms. Mm. So he's got to go in the protocol. He'll be out for the week at least. They say it's more of a precautionary measure, but his timetable for his return is unclear. Don't know yet whether he'll play any more in the preseason. That's in question right now. So Tevin Coleman has to step up and take the first team reps for practice, and he's doing that, and he's probably going to be the starter against the Steelers. You don't want to lose Devontae Freeman if you're the Atlanta Falcons.
No, he may just be lightheaded from that new mega contract he just got, $42 million with a $22 million injury guarantee.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to work anymore.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. He had a concussion back in 2015 in a game with the Colts, missed one game because of that, but wasn't too serious. He got back in pretty quickly. So there's your update on the Atlanta Falcons. 844-477-3776. If you want to talk about the NFL news over the weekend, we certainly had some of it. We'll get to the Zeke Elliott suspension, a little more on that coming up on the show today a little bit later on, and hear from Martavis Bryant with Pittsburgh, the former Clemson Tiger, back in camp, ready to go for the Steelers. 844-GSP-ESPN. Get you in with us here at ESPN Upstate on Twitter as well. What happened at Florida over the weekend? Is this good or bad for the Gators? What do you think of Jim McElwain for doing this for the Michigan game? Tell you all that in case you haven't heard coming up next in the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Off the text line at 71307. A question. Are y'all carrying the Burns games this year? We're glad you asked. Yes, we are, and they start this week. But they're on Saturday. Burns, Myrtle Beach will play Saturday this week, August 19th. I guess they do that to me. It's no college football this Saturday. Might as well take that week zero to get a little attention on Saturday night. It's going to be an early start, too. They're going to kick that thing off at 6 o'clock over at Nixon Field. So 5:30 will be the airtime for Burns and Myrtle Beach this coming Saturday. We'll be talking a lot more about that as the week goes on and give you the week zero schedule. Coming up as we get closer during the week and talk to a couple of the coaches who are playing this week as well. High school football is here this week. That's a good feeling. Got to wait a little longer for the NFL and for college football, but it is time for high school football. Always fun. College football, big news breaking over the weekend. You know, the Alabama-Florida State game is getting a ton of attention. But another good one on September 2nd, at 3:30 p.m. will be Florida-Michigan. That's a good matchup at Jerry World, AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Well, it was going to be a good matchup. Is it still going to be a good matchup? Because Florida has suspended 7 players for the game, including Antonio Callaway, their wide receiver, and probably their best player, right, Josh? I mean, he's probably the man.
Oh, yeah. Callaway's special.
Yeah. These guys were allegedly making improper charges on student IDs at the school bookstore. And then they were selling those items for cash, according to university officials. One source said the cards did not have the proper amount of funds to purchase the items. What are we saying? They bounced their student IDs? Is that what these guys did?
Sounds like a complicated scam, doesn't it? Or is it one guy did it? It's like, hey, man, look, this worked, and a couple other guys did it too. I don't know.
I don't know. Dumb is what it is. Besides Callaway, the other suspended players, offensive lineman Kadeem Telfort, linebackers James Houston and Ventrell Miller, defensive lineman Jordan Smith, Richard Desir Jones, and Kevonis Davis. Jim McElwain, coach for the Florida Gators, said, we have a small group of players. I don't know if seven's small, coach. Let me just start with that. I don't know how small seven is. But anyway,
wow.
We have a small group of players that have made some choices that are extremely disappointing. Action has been taken. They missed some practice. They'll miss the Michigan game. We will use this as a learning opportunity.
Wait a minute. So the police weren't called in or anything like that? Because this is theft, isn't it? I mean, so is this thing generally handled on campus and you just get in trouble in practice?
It's nothing about charges here.
Because in the real world, isn't that like scamming and stealing?
It's nothing about a crime here.
Well, it was their money. That's the problem. It's their allotment under their approved.
They overspent their allotment.
Exactly.
Right?
And then they turned it into, like, they took the money, went and got these cards, and then sold these cards with the electronics to make money off of that. So what they were supposed to be using it for is books and notebook paper and pens and stuff that's supposed to go towards
academia. That's not an accident. That's a scam. That's
right. But it's really a misappropriation of their funds.
Is
it's
it just a
scam.
Breaking of a rule as
right.
opposed to a crime?
Exactly.
So robbing a bank is a misappropriation.
They didn't rob it. They were given the money.
That's
like the bank saying, "Here's the money, but you have to go use it to buy a car,
and
instead you go and buy a house."
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah. They have to return the items or repay the bookstore. That's the deal. And will school officials take further action? We don't know yet. They haven't said. Callaway has been in trouble before, by the way. Suspended last spring, sexual assault allegations.
Ooh.
Accused of sexual assault December 2015, testified that he was high on marijuana during the incident and said he was so stoned he had no interest in having sex with anyone. That was his excuse. He was cleared during his hearing in August 2016, reinstated to the team. But he has been in trouble before. And then in May, Callaway was cited for misdemeanor marijuana possession. Officers smelled marijuana in a vehicle driven by a 40-year-old man. Callaway was a passenger. 7 grams of marijuana was found in his pocket during a search. And the driver, Kendrick Williams, also found with marijuana. Callaway and the driver claimed ownership of the drugs, but prosecutors dropped the charge. Plea deal. Callaway was fined $301.
Mm.
Sounds like a quality human being and someone anyone would love to have on their team.
1-game suspension, but it is a big one.
Is he a sophomore?
Not sure.
I was going to say, because if he's a junior, this will probably be his last year. But I applaud Jim McElwain for pulling the trigger like that.
Yeah, Callaway is a junior.
Yeah, he's gone after this year anyway.
I wanted to ask you about that. So if you're a Florida fan, do you think more highly of Jim McElwain? Or if you're just a football fan in general, do you think more highly of Jim McElwain because he's willing to do this when you're playing Michigan in the opener? Would any coach have done this? Aren't there some examples where this might not have your top player, your outstanding wide receiver might not have been suspended for a big game like this? Don't you think somebody else might have found a way around this?
Yeah, not seven. Or they would have waited until, I don't have Florida's schedule in front of me, but
how do you get away with that?
Yeah, you know.
Game two, you're suspended.
Yeah, the weasel way around it, which a lot of coaches do, is no, you're not going to be suspended for Michigan, but you're going to be suspended for Michigan Tech.
I don't want to be that guy, but I am quite often as far as this goes. What if he already knew he was going to lose to Michigan, and now he has a built-in excuse.
He doesn't know he's going to lose to Michigan.
He already knew he's going to lose to Michigan, the powerhouse of Michigan.
He does not think he's going to lose to Michigan.
So now he can say, sorry, you know, I had to do what was right.
Michigan lost to everybody. They're young. He doesn't think he's going to lose to Michigan. He may now. Game two is Northern Colorado.
Who's game three?
Tennessee.
Oh, that's
got to be game two.
I would have done game three. That's a gimme.
Jimmy takes a that'd be a nice Northern little slap Colorado. Tennessee.
Northern Colorado would give Florida more of a game than Tennessee
oh
would.
Oh my gosh!
I'd suspend it for Tennessee and be like, eh.
Yeah. Way people couldn't accuse you of picking the lowest rated team.
Florida still's going to win by double digits.
Over Tennessee. That's mean, man. That's mean. It might be true.
Butch Jones may not even be the coach.
By the game three. Game three, he may not be the guy. It's not a good start for Florida. Not a good look here. This note also out of the SEC, not surprising. Jarrett Stidham has been named starting quarterback at Auburn. That announcement made today. He has been the front runner to start ahead of last year's starter, Sean White, who's still around, by the way. Gus Malzahn says the team is excited for Jarrett, ready for the season. And Sean White tweeted, all in. All in, War Eagle. I'm sure Sean White's excited about losing that starting job.
He transferred to Clemson?
He's got that all in down, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, all in, that's
We
that's
knew that Stidham was going to be the man.
It was not originated by Clemson. So. No.
Supposedly it was.
No, it
was.
By who?
I'm just saying.
It's a poker term. Well, he didn't make that up.
No, but I'm saying as far as the football term, I mean, hadn't Dabo talked about all in for a decade?
Other football teams did it before him.
Well, I know Chizik wrote a book called All In about his national championship team in 2010 that people took offense to because
they say he stole it from Dabo.
He stole it from Dabo.
Yeah.
So that's why I wondered if Stidham transferred.
When you say people, you mean Clemson fans.
Yes.
Okay.
Stidham did not transfer.
He did not transfer. All right.
Or Sean White did not transfer either. Sean White's the one who said all in. Stidham is going to be your starter. We knew that was going to happen, right?
Yeah, shocker.
We knew that he was going to be the best guy on the field. So Clemson fans, you play Auburn September 9th. You'll see Jarrett Stidham as long as he gets through game one. At 7 o'clock over at the Valley, in the first big game of the year for the Tigers, it'll be the Jarrett Stidham Show. He's 6'3", 214 pounds. Pretty accurate, pretty mobile. Really good in the spring game. Offensive MVP in the spring game. 16 of 20, 267 yards. They open with Georgia Southern, then they go to Clemson. Week two. Jarrett Stidham against presumably Kelly Bryant in the Valley in a big early game. 844-GSP, ESPN. Got to take a break. Come back with more in a moment. This is The Huddle. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to The Huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney, Coach Josh Phillips, and Lonzo. If you want to get in with us, 844-477-3776. Carolina Coaches RV Superstore. Text line 71307. Use the keyword ESPN. We told you that Jarrett Stidham is going to be the starter at Auburn. That has been decided. It's also been decided at Virginia Tech. The starting quarterback will be Josh Jackson out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. How did Harbaugh let him get away? 6'1", 211 pounds. He will get the start. So he is... Some compare him to Tyrod Taylor. Mobile, not a guy that puts the ball down after one read and runs. Tries to kind of run out of containment to get another chance to throw. That's the word on him. He's a guy that they believe in, apparently, at Virginia Tech to make the call this early. They didn't run the quarterback battle down to the last minute at Virginia Tech. So Justin Fuente has made his decision. The question, Josh, is does he have the weapons around him? You know, with all those losses at Virginia Tech to the NFL, to graduation, does he have the weapons for Virginia Tech to get to the title game this year in the ACC?
So he beat out the junior college kid because there for a while Fuente was on a JUCO quarterback signing spree.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought another one in. And you said this kid's from Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Jackson's from Michigan. A.J. Bush, I think, is who you're talking about.
Is the junior college kid?
Yeah. He started out with Nebraska. He redshirted 1 year. Then he sat on the bench and transferred to Iowa Western Community College and got some experience there. He's bigger, 6'4", 219 pounds, but was not great in the spring game. Had a couple of respectable snaps, they said. Did enough to get some attention, but needs more time. That's the word on A.J. Bush. So, yes, Josh Jackson has beaten him out.
Yeah, Virginia Tech's going to have to figure out, you know, last year Bucky Brooks was just such a enormous target for them in their in literally every package they had. I'm going to be interested to see if he tries to run the football more than what they did. I know at Memphis when they had Lynch, they really tried to get him out on the perimeter and give him what's called a two-way go run-pass option.
Mm-hmm.
And if this kid has legitimate speed, it may be that one read. If it isn't there, take off and run.
May have to do it, yeah.
May not, yeah, exactly. Kind of like what Petrino did with Lamar Jackson. They didn't ask him to sit in the pocket a whole lot.
Right.
You know, when you watch Louisville, there was a lot of bootlegs, rollouts, sprint outs. And the reason for that is if you get him out on the perimeter and he's got space, he's going to take off and run it. And so it sounds like that's what Justin Fuente is going to do at Va Tech, going with the speedster, because that kid's what, you said 6'1"?
6'1", yeah.
Yeah, see, the passer was the Bush kid.
Yeah, the 6'4", yeah.
Yeah.
Also, over the weekend, how much golf did you guys watch?
I watched a lot.
Did you really?
Last two rounds.
You're a big golf fan?
Love it.
Okay.
Good. I'm still trying to find Phil. I think he got lost in Charlotte.
I watched more preseason football than I did golf.
Trying to find Mickelson? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
he missed the cut.
I think he was 11 over after day one.
Which is why you couldn't find him if you missed
it. He was not in Charlotte, I guess. He was gone.
He was not good. Yeah.
He was not good. But congratulations to Justin Thomas. This is a guy I think could make a move now that he has this first major under his belt. He won it with a 8-under par score at that one putt. I think it was on 10 that just sat on the lip for 10 seconds and dropped in. And you kind of knew then, I guess, that it was going to be Justin Thomas's day. So a two-shot win over Patrick Reed and Francesco Molinari and Ueshuizen. Ricky Fowler was three back at -5. We didn't have too many of our local guys do much in this tournament. Kevin Kisner is from Aiken. He was four shots back at -4, so he was the highest-ranked local guy. Dustin Johnson wasn't terrible. He was even par, so eight shots off the pace with a 67 yesterday, but even par score for the entire tournament. And then after that, you have to reach a little bit for local golfers. Lucas Glover at +3, the Clemson guy. Bill Haas at +6 out of Greenville. He had a 73 yesterday. He only had one really good round, second round of 69 for Bill Haas. I think McGirt did not make the cut. Saw that, he was cut. He had a 77 and a 73, so he missed the cut. Just not particularly good for the local guys in Charlotte. But I understand Charlotte looked good. How'd the course look to you?
Looked awesome.
Yeah.
I was astonished at how, you know, people say what separates the champions is on Sunday, and that's true, because Kisner had so many opportunities, but you could just tell the pressure of that moment in that time. I mean, he was chili dipping. He looked like me down at the Greenville Muni.
Well, that doesn't seem too good. Anyway, congratulations to Justin Thomas. We'll see if this kind of kickstarts him to be a regular competitor for major championships going forward. He is a good golfer, and this finally gets him over the top at Quail Hollow, winning by two shots yesterday. All right, going to jump into the Zeke Elliott suspension a little more and hear from NFL analyst Dan Graziano from ESPN about how this all came about and where we go from here on the six games handed down to Zeke Elliott. When we come back in the huddle on ESPN Upstate.